Amen. Praise the Lord. What a hope we have in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Without Him we can do nothing, but with Him all things are possible. I'm delighted to be able to stand this morning before you. Appreciate Brother Richard giving me the opportunity. And appreciate Richard and Susan, and I know you do too, being your pastor and wife, and I know that you pray for them daily. I'm privileged to serve as your associational missionary for 36 churches in Gilmer and Fanning County, working together to do some things together that we can't do individually. You're a part of 6 food ministries, 2 medical clinics, a dental clinic, counseling ministry, and you're touching people's lives. And you may not hear about that or know about that, but God is using what we're doing together to change people's lives and to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm just thankful to be able to serve in that capacity. I'm in my 13th year, and that's hard for me to believe. But,
and a great job.
Well, to God be the glory. It's not me. It's all about Him. And we did have a great time at the men's conference last night. That was just a great event. And that young man threw that basketball, just right through the bottom. Didn't touch the rim or nothing. I mean, it was just, that was a fascinating thing to watch. I'm proud of those that were there and enjoyed the time together. I'm going to be reading I hope it's a very familiar passage of Scripture with you, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you have your Bibles, be turning there. And let me tell you why I want it to be important to you, because it's important to me. It's two of my favorite verses in the Bible, and of course, every time I say that, my wife says they're all your favorite, and that is true. But these are, if I have two life verses, this is two of them. They have impacted my life ever since I began my spiritual pilgrimage with the Lord, trying to serve Him and honor Him with my life. And if I sign my name on a card or something, I'll always put down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because they can just change your life if you'll just focus upon them. Two other verses that are just as important to me as these two. Second message I ever preached after God called me to preach when I was 30 years old was Romans 12, 1 and 2. And those verses says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you'll live your life after those two verses, or these two verses, you're going to have a good spiritual life. You're going to have a good spiritual growth and discipleship. And these two verses, I'm going to ask you to stand and reverence God's Word. We'll read these two verses and pray, and then we'll share what God's laid on our heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love for us. Thank You, Lord, that You don't leave us out there alone, that You're always with us, promise to never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, if we'll just commit our ways to You, Lord, it's just amazing what You're able and willing to do in our lives. I pray, Father, if there's one here today that has never trusted in You, that this would be the day that they would say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust You with whatever days I have left and let You direct me. I'm going to strive to be that living sacrifice that You've saved me to be. Father, I just pray that You'll bless in these few moments, have Your way, and we'll praise You and glorify You in what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. You may be seated. Trust. What does it mean to trust? What does that mean? Is it something like faith? Yes. Is it something like belief? Yes. It's trusting in God, putting our whole self in Him. But there's a difference between belief and trust. James said in the book of James, he said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Well, in comparison, if we look at trust and belief, I would say, show me your belief without your trust, and I'll show you my belief by my trust. Because it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. It's not enough just to believe in the Bible. But you've got to put your trust in what God says and allow Him to change your life, to commit yourself wholeheartedly to Him. You know, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. The devils believe. And so it's not enough for us to just say, yeah, I believe that. That sounds good. Yeah, I believe that Jesus was a good man. Yeah, that just doesn't cut it. And let me tell you a little story that really, to me, illustrates the difference between belief and trust. All of us have heard the story of the Flying Willendas. They were war actors and trapeze artists and all of that. Well, before them, a few years before that, there was a man by the name of Belinden. You can research him on the internet. And he was a tightrope walker. He was very proficient at walking the tightrope. And he was the first one to stretch a rope from one side of the Niagara Falls to the other. Now, I've never been to the Niagara Falls. Maybe some of you have, but they say it's just beautiful. Well, this man was so good at walking this tightrope that they had to make special schedules for trains to go up there. So many people were coming to watch him. And they would just stand in amazement as he would go from one side to the other. And one time he even carried his manager over on his back. And one time, I'd love to have been there. He actually took a table and a chair and a little stove and cooked himself an omelet. And he sat out there over the river and ate it. Now, that's just very proficient to me. He was really an expert. Well, he started rolling a wheelbarrow over from one side to the other. And then he started putting weight in the wheelbarrow. I mean, he was just simply amazing. And everybody would cheer. They'd stand on the banks and they'd applaud him. And he was headlines in all the newspapers. And just crowds would gather just in amazement to watch this feat that he did, rolling from one side to the other. And he got up to 300 pounds weight, rolling from the other one side of the falls to the other. And they'd clap and cheer. And he came over one time and he said, "How many of you believe I could push a man over the falls or over the water in this wheelbarrow?" And all of them cheered, "Oh, we believe. We believe." And he said, "Well, get in." You know how many got in? None. Now, one story I read said one little man volunteered to get in. But you see, that's the difference in belief and trust. Trust is putting ourselves in the arms of the Lord. Getting in Jesus' wheelbarrow, really, is what it amounts to. And he said to trust Him, to put ourselves in His care and His keeping. Trust the Lord. And it does matter who you trust. Amen? Trust the Lord. Trust Him who is able to change your life. Trust Him who is able to forgive you of your sins. Trust Him who is able to take you in the hollow of His arms and love you and care for you in the dark hours of the midnight to lift you up and encourage you. Trust Him who's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Trust the Lord. Don't trust, though, you know, whose wheelbarrow are you in? Some people I'm talking to today, they're in the wheelbarrow of CNN or Fox News. Or they're in the wheelbarrow of J. Taz Russell, the founder of Mormonism, or of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're in their wheelbarrow. But folks, I'm in Jesus' wheelbarrow. As a 9-year-old boy, I trusted the Lord as my Savior and I committed myself to Him. Praise God, He's never let me down. I've slipped and I've fallen and I've gotten out of the wheelbarrow a time or two, but praise God, He's brought me back every time. I trust the Lord. And so we need to know who we're trusting in today. And we need to know what He can do in our lives. And we need to allow Him to change us into the person that He wants us to be and He desires for us to be. Trust the Lord. How much are we to trust the Lord? What does that verse say? Trust the Lord with how much? All of your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. That means I totally commit myself into the wheelbarrow or into the arms of Jesus, and I commit myself totally and fully to Him. If I just put out one foot, is that all? No, He wants all of me or He wants none of me. You know, the Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 3, you remember what Jesus said to the church at Laodicea? He said, I wish you were hot, I wish you were cold, because you're neither one, you make me sick. And I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You see, if we're not giving God our all, if we're not giving Him all of our heart, all of our being, if we're not totally in the wheelbarrow, we're making Him sick. We're trying to straddle the fence, and that God's not pleased with us. We're not really trusting in Him with all of our heart if we're not giving Him our all, if we're not just totally saying, Lord, I trust You. Sink or swim, God, I'm trusting You. I'm going to allow Your will to be done in my life. Totally committed to You. Putting myself in Your arms, putting myself in Your wheelbarrow, allowing You to control my life and lead me, to help me to be all that You would have me to be. That's what God wants in our lives. That's what He deserves. Why? Because He died for us on the cross. If we're saved, we don't belong to ourselves any longer. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. So trust the Lord with all of our heart. Can you think of some people in the Bible that trusted the Lord with all their heart? I think Moses did. I think Noah did. You know, God said build an ark. And He built that ark. He did. What's strange about that? Because Noah had never seen rain. He didn't even know what rain was. Rain hadn't even been around, but God said, build an ark. Noah says, okay, I'll build the ark. Joseph, one of my favorite heroes of the Bible. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers who didn't like him. He was lied about by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. The baker forgot that he had made a promise to Joseph that when he was delivered from the prison, he'd come back and get Joseph out. But you know, in all of Joseph's tragedies and calamities in life, and we all face them, I never saw him anywhere give up on God, did you? I never saw any place where he curses God. I mean, he had to be a man of character to turn away the advances of Potiphar's wife. I mean, she did everything she could to get his attention, and he trusted the Lord. Joseph, I just love him. I think he trusted the Lord with all of his heart. How about the three Hebrew children? They're three of my favorite people in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they said, O king, we're not going to bow down and worship you. We're trusting the Lord. We know that this furnace can burn us up, but that's okay. Even if it does, we're all right. You know, whether he delivers us or not, it doesn't matter to us. We're trusting in the Lord. Is that the kind of trust you have? Are you totally committed to Jesus? Are you in His wheelbarrow today? Trust the Lord with all your heart. And I love this next part, because we're all so guilty of this. And lean not. Don't put your weight on your own understanding. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in what you think's going to happen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in what God has to say. Do you think if Noah had trusted and leaned on his own understanding, he'd have built that ark? No, because it hadn't even rained. Do you think Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego would have gone into that furnace if they leaned on their own understanding? Absolutely not. No. And what crisis are you going through? What are you dealing with? I see so many people, they'll step out just far enough and say, I'm trusting but they're not willing to step out and say, Lord, I'm totally trusting in you. Think about Peter. Peter in the New Testament. You remember when Jesus came walking on the water and the waves, and the disciples were in the boat and the waves were tossing, and and they looked out and they saw Jesus, and they first thought he was a ghost, and then they realized who it was. And Peter said, Jesus, if it's really you, bid me to come unto you. And Jesus said, well, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. He's trusting in the Lord. And then what did he do? He started leaning on his own understanding, didn't he? Took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at what? The waves, and felt the wind, and he became afraid. He was no longer trusting in Jesus. Yes, he stepped out of the boat, and I commend him for doing that. Are we willing to step out of the boat? Are we willing to get into the wheelbarrow? Are we willing to trust the Lord with all of our heart? That's what Peter did when he stepped out. But then he began to lean on his own understanding, and he began to sink. He began to literally drown. But then he came back and said, trust the Lord. Lord, save me. And guess what? Jesus reached down and picked him up. That's what Jesus wants to do for every one of us today. All we've got to do is ask Him. All we've got to do is no longer lean on our own understanding, but trust Him. Trust Him to deliver us. Trust Him to have His way in our lives. Trust Him. Daniel, when he went into the lion's den, Daniel knew those lions could eat him up, but he was trusting in the Lord. I guess he's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's okay. Lord, if I live or if I die, it's okay. I'm trusting in you. Who's your trust in? What's your trust in today? Is it your own understanding? Or are you trusting in what the Bible says? Folks, this is the Word of God. Amen. From beginning to end. And anything that you read in there is true. And you can count on it, because my God cannot lie. There's one thing God cannot do, and that's lie. Anything that He tells us in His Word, He will do. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. Because I've already said, as a 9-year-old boy, I asked Him to come into my heart and save me, and He did. I got away from the Lord. I backslid, and kind of like Peter, I started leaning on my own understanding and wanted to get out in the world, make a lot of money, and got to doing some things that I shouldn't have done. But God didn't leave me out there. I saw myself sinking, and I cried, God, forgive me. And He did. And I said, Lord, from this point on, I'm going to try. And that's when these verses became my life verses. Lord, with the best of my ability, I'm going to trust You with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to give my life daily to You. I'm going to read Your Word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to give. I'm going to do anything humanly possible I can do. Lord, I'm just going to trust You. I never knew He'd allow me to do the things that He's allowed me to do spiritually, to be a part of the things that I've been a part of, to see my wife, who was lost at the time, and I didn't even know it. Because when I married her, I was a backslidden Christian, and she didn't even know who Jesus was, but I didn't know about that until a couple of years later, after God had brought me out of a backslidden condition, or miry clay, or where I was sinking, and got my feet on the solid rock again, and began to change my life. My wife was saved. Her mother was saved. Her father, who professed to be an atheist, came to know the Lord as his Savior. Amen. Why did God do all of that? Maybe He'd have done it if I hadn't have trusted Him. Maybe He'd have sent somebody else. But I think it was because I came back to Him and I trusted Him with all of my heart. I quit leaning on my own understanding and thinking, well, you need to make this and you need to do that and you need to be all that you can be in the world. Those things are perishing. Those things are temporary, but the things we do for God, those things are eternal. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Let His Spirit guide you and direct you. Don't just go as far as you can go, but step out and be willing to sink if that's what God wants you to do. Be willing to be cast in the lion's den if that's what God, where God wants to put you. Be willing to go into the fiery furnace if that's what you have to face, whether you're at work or whether you're dealing with a neighbor or dealing even something in your own home. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. How many of your ways?
All
your ways. How much of your heart?
All.
How many of your ways?
All
your ways. Not just in the times of sickness. Not just in the times of sadness, but the good times as well. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, recognize Him. In all your ways, remember He's there to minister to you and help you and to lift you up and to encourage you in everything that you do. Whether you're wealthy or whether you're healthy, acknowledge Him. Whether in your marriage, in your church life, in whatever you're doing, in all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. In your prayer life, when you're praying, when you're going to the store, when you're going to bed at night, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. I remember when I was a little boy, and I don't know if mamas teach this today, but my mama taught me as a little boy to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." In all my ways, I've learned to acknowledge Him and allow Him to direct me in the way that He would have me to go. I tell you a little story talking about acknowledge Him in our prayer life and all your ways, acknowledge Him. We were on a mission trip down in Mississippi after one of the hurricanes had come through, and we were ministering to a family there. Trees had fallen in their yard and on their house, and we were cutting them off. And we always, when we got there, we would begin our time together. If somebody was there in the house, we would have prayer with them. And so we met the lady of the house, a black lady, and she came out in the yard, and we were circling up to the team was to have prayer with her before we started work. And all of a sudden, her cell phone rang. And right before we prayed, she grabbed it right quick, and I don't know who was on the other line or didn't at the time, and she said, I can't talk right now, they're praying with me. And she hung up the phone, and we had our prayer, and we went out and started working in the yard, cleaning up, cutting up the trees and moving them out to the curb. About 30 minutes later, this big, burly black man with a gun on his hips, uniform on, came around the corner, and he looked like he was agitated. He was, you know, looking around, seeing what was going on, and the woman of the house went up and met him, and I could tell they were conversing, and he was trying to find out, you know, what was going on, and she was explaining to him, and all of a sudden she just burst out in laughter, and I thought, well, what's all this about? And in a few minutes she motioned us over, and she introduced the man. She said, "This is my husband." And she said, "A while ago when we were gathering up to pray and my phone rang, it was him that called me. And when I told him that she couldn't talk right now, that we were praying with her, he thought," she said, "we were playing with her." And he come ready to bust some heads. So whether you're praying or whether you're playing, put God first in your life. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways, put Him first, and He will direct your path. That's the bottom line, church. That's the bottom line, Christian. That's the bottom line, lost person. If you'll let God have His way in your life, He will direct your path. He will make a difference that only you can look back in your life and say, "Look what God has done. Look what God has allowed me to be a part of. Look what God has blessed me and allowed me to be used to lay up treasures in heaven. As I have surrendered myself to Him, you can look back and see the eternal investment that God has given you in your life. I'm sure if we had time, everybody could stand up and say, you know, because I accepted the Lord as my Savior, because I let Him lead me to this church, because I followed Him in the way that He had had me to go as He's directed my path, this is what's happened. This is how God has blessed me. This is how God has used me. This is how God has encouraged me. This is how God has opened my eyes that I might see. He will direct your path. Amen. And I know He's directing your path today as you're looking to Him and seeking Him and His face and His will for your lives. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Just look at the Apostle Paul. Closing example, in all the ways that God blessed and used that man. On the Damascus Road, God opened his eyes. And Paul trusted Jesus, the very one that he persecuted, the very one that he was having the Christians killed. And yet, God opened his eyes, and Jesus began to direct his path. And he became the greatest missionary that ever has been. I wrote a goodly portion of the New Testament. We praise God for directing Paul's path, but I praise Him, more importantly, directing my path and my heart. Will you trust Him today, or are you trusting Him? And will you say, yes, Lord, I want to be used of You. I want You to direct my path. I'm going to get in Your wheelbarrow, and I'm going to trust You with whatever days I have left. I'm going to let You lead me and guide me. I'm going to trust You with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. And I just want Your will to be done today. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray in this time of decision, Lord, if there's one that hasn't been trusting You with all their being, Lord, they want You to direct their lives to whatever days they have left. Father, I pray that even now they would just ask You to come into their heart and be their Savior. If they're not saved, and those of us who are saved, that we'd say, Lord, help me to be a better Christian, and help me to let You be a part of every aspect of my life, that I might honor and glorify You in all that I do, that You might be pleased with my life. Thank You for this time together this morning. Thank You for these words, Lord. May these be imprinted upon our hearts and our lives, that we might learn day by day to trust You more and more and more. That God be the glory. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.